Welcome back to the whole show. Now's the time we look at the top stories trending nationally in the sports world with the Lunch Rush. Well, the Titans get the win over the Packers, but they come away with kind of a pretty rough loss. Titans offensive coordinator Todd Downing was charged with driving under the influence and speeding early Friday morning, according to Tennessee Highway Patrol. He went through the intake process at 4:36 a.m. He posted a $2,500 bail bond at 6:46 a.m. The Titans had returned to Nashville early Friday after their win over the Packers. Their team plane landed at 2:07 a.m. So where did we go at that point? Were we partying on the plane, perhaps, and then got in the car to drive home? Because I'm just thinking, what's open at 2:07?
Right. It sounds like it's giving that. I didn't know what the times were, but now that I know that, it sounds like, yeah, we were having a good time on the plane. We beat the Packers in Lambeau Field on a cold night. And then it's late. It's early. I need to get home. So let me just drive home.
This is interesting. Coach Vrabel said he did talk to Downing about everything, and they're in communication. They're trying to figure this out right now. What's the next step? Vrabel noted the league has policies for such incidents and that the Titans will make sure the NFL has all the information that it needs. More bad news for the Washington Commanders. What is going on over there, Angel? The District of Columbia's Attorney General on Thursday filed a second lawsuit against the Commanders, alleging that the team has cheated its residents out of hundreds of thousands of dollars in unreturned security deposits for season ticket holders. What?
That's illegal, right?
Right?
It's got to be.
I mean, what is happening here? D.C. Attorney General Carl A. Racine said in a statement that the Commanders' executives engaged in egregious mismanagement and illegal conduct. The latest lawsuit alleges the team has held on to potential refunds to season ticket holders whose contracts with the team has expired. It claims the team still holds nearly $200,000 in unreturned security deposits. Wow.
So is that from fans not using their season tickets, or they're asking for refunds?
Well, it sounds like they've expired and they never renewed their season tickets. And
you're supposed to get your deposit back.
You're supposed to get your deposit back or whatever. This is just like, what are we doing here? Every day there's something going on with this organization. When do you force the issue here and get Snyder out? It starts with him.
Right, and how long has this been going on? Who's covering this up? Does Snyder really have that much influence on this organization?
That and the NFL. Why is he not gone yet? I'll tell you why. He has dirt. He said he did. He has dirt on Roger Goodell. He has dirt on the NFL. And so, you know, they're sweating bullets over there, man. Everybody is. What could it be? That's what I want to know. Because all this stuff is really bad. At some point, you finally just have to say, he's done. We have to get him out of here. But they haven't yet. Why?
You gotta get the whole team out of there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's getting really, really rough for the Commanders. The Bills had to cancel practice today over the heavy snow. They've been meeting virtually. The game, we already know, has been moved to Ford Field in Detroit with Buffalo and Cleveland. But now I'm wondering if they're even going to have the game at all.
Yeah, I saw a report this morning that the Bills are having trouble getting to the airport. There's a travel ban in Buffalo right now, so no roads, no planes, no anything can really go anywhere. I know the Browns are busing themselves from Cleveland to Detroit. But, I mean, if you can't get the Bills on a plane safely, you can't play this game.
So what do you do here? Do you just call it a bye? I mean, that's going to mess up.
It's going to mess up
schedules.
Detroit's
not really worried about it, but it's going to mess up the playoff situation.
And they can't really reschedule it because the Bills play on Thanksgiving Day, and you have to have 3 days off in between games. I can only think like a postponement, but even then you got to look at teams' byes. I don't think anyone has a bye anymore. So, gosh, this is going to be fascinating to see what happens.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, I think the one thing we learned with COVID was that you can reschedule. You can do this. It can happen. But what's that looking like? Got to play in the middle of the week? And then that's going to screw up the following week. Everything's going to be pushed back.
I just seen a bunch of reaction from fans around Twitter like, oh, we should have had a snow game. Oh, we're missing out on this great venue. I'm like, Listen, safety. Snow games are cool back in like the 70s.
Listen, I like snow
games.
They're
fun to watch, but I can't imagine sitting in a stadium for 3.5 hours.
I'm not
freezing.
Going. No, I'm not. Maybe 20 years ago, maybe 15 years ago. But now, no way. Not
and it's not about like, oh, the team doesn't want to do it. It's not safe for fans to travel to this game.
It's not. Yeah, you don't want. Don't encourage people. I saw Cody Wilson posting, you know, on Denver Front Range and Weather, like, if you don't have to be out, don't be out. If you're not working or whatever, if you're retired, or don't be out. You know, when this weather is nuts like this, if you don't have to, I get it. If you have to, I had to. I certainly understand that. But same situation here. You don't want to get thousands upon thousands of people out on the road to come to a football game.
Right.
And that whole area is just going to be a mess. So, yeah, I'll be curious to see what the NFL does here. Just a last note. Spain overtakes USA for the number one spot in FIBA's men's hoops rankings. For the first time in 12 years, USA basketball is not at the top. That's interesting. I mean, that's basketball. Like, I don't really get into watching Team USA basketball. Like, I'm not really, because we have the best basketball players. We did.
And the best player.
I get to watch that all the time. So when I watch the Olympics or whatever, I usually watch different sports that I don't normally watch. Curling and swimming and stuff like that. But either way, this might spark this thing a little bit. This might get people interested in it because now you're an underdog. Spain's taking over.
With Team USA basketball, just thinking back to like 2012 when it was the redeem team. With like LeBron and Wade and Melo and all these guys, and they kind of brought USA basketball back. Since then, it's kind of just been middling because you're not seeing these NBA players wanting to do it as much because of the injuries and stuff. So you see a lot of G League guys, a lot of college kids come up and play for you at Team USA. I think it's a cool experience for them.
Well, and you're looking look at Nikola Jokic. I mean, look at the players. You know, these players overseas. They just play basketball. They just want to play basketball
Jokic, Luka, Bogdanovich,
yeah,
they all play.
They're all playing. They love it, and that's the thing. Like, as we see the NBA, like Luka and Nikola Jokic and Giannis Antetokounmpo, three of the best. Joel Embiid, although now he's full on American, right? You see those three guys. They're all foreign players coming over here. I mean, the best players in the NBA are not American, and so you're starting to see that where. Basketball, maybe in this country, is starting to fall down a little bit. Even in our own NBA, the best players are not American players. So this has got to be something for Team USA to perk up, maybe get excited about trying to compete.
Speaking about international sports, the World Cup obviously is starting up this weekend.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
A bunch of controversy and stuff there. Came out a report this morning, alcohol sales will be banned in the stadiums. This is after a back and forth with Budweiser. They were going to have a tent set up at each stadium and being able to sell alcohol. Now you can't do it.
Just because of everything that's happened.
Because of everything, and there's potential bribes for some teams that are like, they're getting paid to lose games.
What?
Yeah, the Ecuadorian team, they opened with against Qatar on Sunday, and they were paid to lose the game 1-0. And like several journalists reported this.
That is huge, dude.
Right.
That is. And again.
And now that the story's out, if it's not a 1-0 score, there's something up.
Oh, my gosh. That is absolutely bizarre.
Other reports
that is crazy.
That they're paying citizens to pretend to be fans of other countries. It's
what?
Like there. I saw a video of a bunch of fans, and there's this guy. He's like, oh, I'm from India, but I'm rooting for England. Like, what?
What is happening here?
It is a whole mess over there right now.
Are they still going to do it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, but that's. And I'm not saying this is right, but all the bad things in the world that can happen for sports, fixing games, or the whiff that you might be fixing games is ending.
Like, and the World Cup, too. Like,
oh, wow.
I know we love the NFL, but the World Cup is
the biggest thing in the world. Biggest sporting event in the world. You're right. And you start messing with that integrity. The beer sales, all that stuff's bad. You know, and obviously everything that happened, like a month or two ago, all that stuff is bad. But, man, this is sports. When you start messing with that, you start messing with the integrity of the game and people don't know if they can trust what they're watching, the money goes away. All of it. A texter here from Smitty says a certain Denver media member says, we're all soft. because of the Buffalo versus Cleveland game being moved. That's called being smart. How is that
being
soft?
Safe.
So if the roads are terrible and snow's all over, you can't clear the road, that's soft? It's called being a human and doing the right thing.
Oh, the players want to do it. Yeah, I'm sure they would love to, and it sounds fun to go play in a snow game, but I'm thinking just as a fan perspective, I don't want to sit there all game when it's cold.
Yeah. But again,
it's 6 feet of snow outside. What am I doing out here?
It's about the roads. Keep people off the roads. Don't give them more reason to be out on the roads.
Is playing on a snow field any safer than a turf field?
No. Not at all. And again, if it's going to be that bad and people are literally having trouble getting into their cars and then driving around, what are we doing here?
Oh, Von Miller posted a picture this morning on his Twitter, and his car is completely covered in snow.
It reminds me back, gosh, was that the first Super Bowl year for the Broncos? Where they, like, the players couldn't get out of their house to get to the airport and all that stuff. So they had to, like, have people come get them. Big trucks, guys in trucks would come out and go get these Broncos players. I remember watching the video of it because it was, like, one of those videos they put together after your team wins a Super Bowl and you get to kind of watch all the highlights leading up to it. And that was one of the big deals was they had such a bad snowstorm, they couldn't even get out of their houses.
Wow.
They still played the games. I don't remember exactly if that was on the road or what. Yeah, that's a terrible take. But as far as soft, it's weather. I mean, what does that guy think? You can't play in...
It's football weather, Brady.
And again, I love
a
good snow game.
We used to play on mud fields.
I like watching a good snow game. I do.
Last night was pretty decent snow game for a little bit.
I told you it was snowing in Nevada last weekend. So that was crazy. Trust me, I like it. It's exciting, but not at the expense of putting people's lives in jeopardy.
I mean, snow games are fun. It's just there's a limit. 6 feet of snow is way over the limit.
Oh, my gosh. Just what are we doing here? It's a game. Eastside Chris, Brady, get the ball in McManus's field goal range 6 times. That's 18. Can we get in field goal range?
Make 6 for 6?
Sure, I don't know. He hasn't had that great a year, but then again, he hasn't been given a lot of opportunities. I mean, he's leading. He's got to be leading the team in points, right? I mean, that's just... You can't even get in field goal range. How bad is that? First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Well, I guess. Okay, so McManus is what? 16 of 20. That's not bad. It's 80%. He has... How many points does he have? My goodness. He's definitely leading. But that's just, you have to find a way to at least get him in field goal range. How are we feeling about this Broncos-Raiders game? I got picks coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, and I don't have a read on this game. I mean, the Raiders are 2-7. Their offense is better. They at least can score. They can move the ball down the field. But this Denver defense is the best in the league. If the Broncos can get any offense at all, they win this game. Any offense at all.
As good as the Broncos defense is, this is a Raiders team that ran all over them a couple months ago.
They did. I think that was the worst performance by the Broncos defense. So you know that they got something big to play for. They got to try to make up for that. That was maybe one of the best offensive performances we've seen with this team. They scored 23 that game. Now, I know the Melvin Gordon fumble changed a lot of things, but he still gave up 144 yards to Josh Jacobs. I mean, he was averaging 5 yards per carry. He ran all over this team. Devontae Adams had a good game. 9 receptions for 101 yards. That was kind of it for the passing attack because Derek Carr threw for 188 in that game. But this was Russ's. He was 17 of 25, 237 yards. He had 2 touchdown passes, and he ran for 30. So like that is what you want to start seeing. Can they get that together again? And it would sure take some of the pressure off of Nathaniel Hackett. If you can find a way to score 20, if you score 23 again, we would be floored here.
I think the matchup I'm looking closely at in this game is round 2 of Patrick Surtain and Devontae Adams.
And see kind of how they play that, cuz sometimes you just go straight up one-on-one. Or sometimes you try to bracket him with other guys so that Surtain can be more of a free guy, but he's gonna lock him up. I mean, that's gonna be what they want is Pat Surtain versus Devontae Adams. Take him out of the game, which Surtain has done that. I mean, he takes the best receivers out of the game. Yeah. I mean, even with 100 yards, still,
he didn't get
beat
over the
top
at all.
That was all they had. Yeah, that was all they had. He was targeted in that game 13 times. Everybody else, 5, 4, 6. Josh Jacobs was targeted 6 times. Again, running back, different. But outside of Josh Jacobs, Derek Carr wasn't looking at anybody else. So he was challenging Surtain for as many looks as Devontae Adams got. Yeah, 100 yards is good, but you're right. He didn't destroy you. His longest was a 20-yarder. He didn't destroy you like we've seen with him throughout the course of the season. 20 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. When we come back, we got the Nuggets in action tonight against the Dallas Mavericks. Do we even watch that game? Because nobody's playing in it. I mean, Joker's still on the health and safety protocols. Aaron Gordon the same way. Sounds like Jamal Murray's not going to go. He's listed as out. Joker's listed as out. Gordon has now been upgraded to day-to-day. But this could get ugly. Dallas is a 9-point favorite against the Nuggets. Whew. But Denver starting off pretty good, 9-5. I guess you can afford this. Hopefully everybody gets healthy for the next game. 21 minutes after the hour, let's take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
Sunday and Monday Night Football are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is your UNC Bears head men's basketball coach, Steve Smiley, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA. Go Bears.
Friday, finally. And where to go? What are you looking at? I'm going to Cable's Pub and Grill this afternoon. Meet with a few of my friends over there. So I always love sitting down at Cable's, whether it's all-you-can-eat spaghetti on Monday or Burger Madness on Tuesday. Coming up this weekend, Saturdays, house margaritas for $4. And then Sunday, of course, for big-time football watching, $3 pints at Cable's Pub and Grill. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Man, the injuries are just really bad for Denver. I mean, we know that already, but Quinn Meinerz was taking snaps at center. You are moving guys around to try to figure this out. Graham Glasgow, who Zach told us yesterday, was starting to practice, and he was limited Thursday because of a shoulder problem. He is still listed as a maybe or questionable for Sunday's game against the Raiders. I mean, Luke Wattenberg, oof. He looked really bad. That was his first game ever, though. I mean, you can't blame the guy. He was thrown to the fire.
Also saw a report, Jonas Griffith is expected to be out for a little couple
weeks.
Yeah, on
IR now, right? I just wonder so much, like, does this Broncos team, are they really going to take these injuries seriously? Are they, like, not that they're not taking them seriously in the field and getting them, making sure that they're healthy and all that stuff, but are they really going to take the injuries and use that as part of their decision going forward with Nathaniel Hackett? I mean, you have to consider it, right? Has to be part of the conversation. Well, I mean, in this first year, we haven't seen injuries quite like this. I mean, it started with training camp. You lost Tim Patrick. You knew that was going to be bad. And then it just kept going, which honestly, it just makes Hackett look worse because his whole thing in the preseason was we want to avoid injuries. It's like NFL karma getting at him for not taking the preseason seriously. If ever there was a team, let's go all the way back to that. You know how bad that looks now? Not just with the injuries, but not having a preseason, not using your guys and playing your offense in the preseason when a new coach and a new quarterback, you need it more than anybody. And you just didn't do it. And now it's looking really, really bad. So as much as I want to say, I do want to say that they should take the injuries, take account of those injuries. That just leads me right back to the preseason, though. Because I'm going, oh, well, you wanted to avoid injury, and you didn't play in the preseason to avoid the injuries. And now our offense is this bad, and we're getting injured anyway. That's something that's going to stick with him, too. It has been a rough, rough go for Nathaniel Hackett. Do you think he knows? Like, have they said, do you think they've talked about it and said, hey, unless we see some kind of turnaround, man, you're done. It's
maybe
hard to do that, but
it's hard to say to tell that to him and then say, hey, but keep going out there and coaching and trying to win games.
Yeah. You think those conversations, though, like, what are those conversations like?
I'm sure their conversations are happening. Whether or not Hackett is in on those conversations is another thing, but it from his, you know, the body language and the tone that he's giving off, he just sounds like, yeah, we're just going to keep trying. Eventually this might work. If not, you know, we'll try again, but you're going to run out of games at some point.
Yeah, you're running out of time. I think if you lose to the Raiders and if you lose the way we think, well, we know the Broncos lose and, you know, score 15 points, lose like 20 to 15 or whatever. I don't see how you can keep them going. This fan base, they're going to stop going to games. Like, what do you think the turnout's going to be? They were missing like 7,000 last time out, last home game.
I'm going to say probably more, but definitely a lot of Raiders fans.
Oof. It's going to be a bad look. I mean, it just, this fan base has been so supportive of the Broncos year after year, thick and thin. But at some point, Angel, you do look at this and say, man, this is year 7. It's been 7. Can you believe that? We're going on 7 seasons of missing the playoffs. 6 of those. Well, yeah, is it 6? 5 of those, losing record. You're getting ready to be 6 if you don't turn this thing around. You had the 9-7 year with Gary Kubiak and missed the playoffs, but at least you were 9-7 post Peyton Manning. I think they probably overachieved in that season. But it has just gotten progressively worse for this Broncos team, and this fan base is fed up. And they're probably going to start speaking with their wallets and not go to I would imagine there's going to be a ton of people not going to this game. It is Raiders week, though. I mean, Pete, do Broncos fans still get up for that? 3-6 versus 2-7. They say throw the records out the window when it's a rivalry game. I don't even know what that means. Yeah, do they really hate each other? Like, these rivalries aren't like they are in college. I mean, yeah, they hate Josh McDaniels, so that helps. Broncos fans do. But that's what I loved about Bradley Chubb, one of them. He was the main guy that always stood up and said, hey, we hate the Raiders. We just hate them. Vaughn did it. You know, you want those guys to do that and really, really build up that rivalry. But my goodness, it's just like around here in college. If the teams aren't good, does it feel like a real rivalry? But with Josh McDaniels, that certainly adds some juice to this. Denver could go beat Las Vegas this weekend and really put Josh McDaniels even more so on the hot seat. So there's that. But I don't think, it doesn't sound like McDaniels is going anywhere. Derek Carr and Devontae Adams spoke yesterday and said that they were relieved to hear Mark Davis say that he's behind Josh McDaniels and that he does have faith in him and Rome wasn't built in a day. But I get it from Derek Carr's perspective. Like, I'm tired of changing philosophies. I'm tired of a new offense every couple of seasons. At some point, if you're the Raiders, do you just, or the Broncos? And say, man, we've been doing this every 2 years. We're churning out a new coach and a new system. Is there a case to be made for Nathaniel, like the Broncos flat out just digging both heels in and saying, I know it's bad, but we can't keep doing this? We want to see if we can get a guy to turn this thing around. I will be really curious to see. I mean, it feels like he's done. Like I said, the narrative in the Denver market, in the media market, even for those the most apologetic and positive about Hackett, are already planning his replacement. So that's changed. But there is a part of me that wonders if maybe, if you can just see a glimmer of hope, that you hang on. I mean, they put up with Vance Joseph for 2 years. Everyone was shocked when he got his, you know, Elway kept him. They thought maybe he was going to go after his first season. Denver held held firm, stuck with him. Obviously, didn't work out. Vic Fangio got three. He got three seasons. We'll see what happens, man. 12:35 the time. Angel, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Got a text coming in here on the First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Brady, if Hackett was to go, how much input from Wilson would there be for a coach search? Obviously, Russ isn't the problem. You're saying Russ isn't the problem. I think he is. Right now, he is the problem. He is a problem. He's not the problem. How much input from Wilson? A lot. Like it or not, he's going to have a lot of input who the next head coach is. And it sure sounds like everything I keep hearing is the Dan Quinn Schottenheimer connection there. Get Dan Quinn to come in here, be the head coach, and Schottenheimer, the offensive coordinator. Guys that, and what I'm told is Wilson and Schottenheimer do have a good relationship, because there's a lot of reports out there that say those guys don't like each other after their days in Seattle. But everything I've heard is that those guys are good, that they just fabricated that. But, you know, as far as saying Russ isn't the problem, it's not that he isn't the problem. It's just the problem is you signed him to an extension. You're locked in, so you have to try to figure this thing out. But this could, dude, this could cripple this team. If Russ doesn't figure it out. Oh, I was being sarcastic. I got you. If Russ doesn't figure it out, dude, this could cripple this team. For years. You think 6-7 years of no playoffs is rough? Maybe we haven't seen anything yet. If Russ doesn't work out, there's way more pressure on that situation. Coaches come and go. The Broncos have no recent history of good coaching. But you still think at some point a coach will figure this out. It's on Russ. With Hackett, without Hackett, Russell Wilson has to find a way to be the quarterback that George Payton just signed to an extension. Why did he sign him? Like, was Russ's people and agents holding the Broncos organization's feet to the fire? Did Russ know? Maybe I'm not as good. I need to lock this thing in now.
It's either that or it was just the hype that, hey, if he's going to have a good year, we need to sign him before he
gambled and lost
for some more money.
Well, right now, that gamble has not paid off. And I get it. Yeah, because the quarterback market, like, those numbers aren't going down anytime soon. So you were George Payton and you looked at this situation and you said, yeah, if he goes out and does what we think he's going to do, the reason we traded for him, he's going to demand a heck of a lot more than what we gave him. So, I mean, that fiscally makes sense. But was that worth it? I don't think anybody saw this coming, though. I mean, even when the extension happened, it's not like we were all freaking out about it. I think there were question marks surrounding it. I think they were, you know, we were all saying, hey, maybe wait to see him play in a game first. Maybe let's see him in a preseason game. But this could cripple Denver for years and years to come. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Josh McDaniels, Nathaniel Hackett, it is Broncos Raiders week. And, you know, looking over at the Raiders, I mean, they've been through a lot. And I think with Mark Davis, they're probably saying, We're not going to go on another coaching hire. We're fiscally we can't. But after everything they've been through as an organization, going all the way back, you know, Antonio Brown stuff, obviously the terrible stuff with Henry Ruggs and then John Gruden, and just issue after issue, busted draft picks, Mayock leaving. I think it makes sense for the Raiders to stay the course. I really do. Even if the report didn't come out that, you know, they can't do it because of finances. I just wonder if maybe we're getting so impatient now. Because if you bring a new coach in, there's no guarantee that guy's going to get this thing going for the Raiders. Angel, am I talking myself into both Denver and the Raiders, perhaps? Just stay in the course? There's a part of my brain that's going there.
It seems like it. I the McDaniels thing, I don't see them getting rid of him. Mm-mm. I think they're confident in their team around them.
Yeah.
The Broncos, I don't know who you have confidence in.
You know, remember what I told you in the offseason? When I said there was a bunch of insiders that were saying, there was one prominent insider. I think he was with NFL Network, but it was anonymous. And he reported this anonymous report that the word around the NFL and around Nathaniel Hackett is that he is either going to be an innovator, he's going to be so good that he changes the game, or it is going to be a colossal failure. Think about that. No gray area. I suppose his strategy with the way he approaches things and his attitude and his philosophy was so unique and different that it was either going to be a game changer or just an absolute debacle. That was a scary report because why so far? Why the extreme there? The extreme was because he does things a lot differently, I guess. But where's the offensive genius that we thought we were getting? Where's the creative play calling? Does this team even know how to run a read option? I see Russ hand it off all the time, and it looks like, man, if he keeps that thing, he's got some space to the left. I don't see a lot. I mean, I've seen some plays where guys are wide open, and that's coaching. That's play calling. But why doesn't it happen on the regular? I saw a report or an article in the Denver Post, too, talking about Jiro Evero potentially being a head coach very soon. Well, yeah, I mean, he keeps this up. He's going to be a head coach very soon. DenverPost.com. Broncos defensive coordinator Jiro Evero, early head coaching consideration. He said it was very flattering and it was a great honor. Isn't that weird? Like, those two were best friends. They played together. They coached together for a long time. They have a rich history together. And it's Hackett's guy that he brought in could potentially be a candidate to replace him. Do you keep going this route? If Hackett doesn't work out, do you dare go with another inexperienced head coach?
I think the thing with Evero is, can you keep him in Denver? Because he's going to get a lot of other coaching offers.
Maybe even this year, don't you think?
Definitely. If it continues like this with the best defense and the worst offense, you're probably going to lose Evero.
NFL Network did a list of candidates to watch this winter, and he was one of them. That will be an interesting dilemma. If you fire Hackett, this guy is probably going to be a head coach sooner rather than later. Do you stick with him? Knowing that you've already done it, this would be the fourth time in a row that you hire a head coach that's never been a head coach before.
Do you fire Hackett and give him the interim job for the rest of the season?
You might do it against the Raiders.
And just, hey, you got six games.
Yep.
What can you do?
What can you do in six games? You already have the defense. If this offense can do anything, if you can lead this team to something, I mean, that's enticing.
Get rid of Hackett and Outen. Kubiak in at OC.
I've heard that a lot. I've heard that, you know, maybe Hackett just, he's not a good over, I don't know, is he not a good overseer? Could he be an overseer and just release all play calling duties from this point forward and see how that works? But that's why you hired him. You didn't hire him necessarily because you thought he was the greatest leader of men. It's not that you didn't think that, but that's not why you hired him. You hired him to be this creative offensive guru. So to say, step back and then just be the overseer, that would be weird. But I could certainly see this team. You lose Sunday to the Raiders, and now we're talking about firing Hackett. And if Jiro Evero's name is really coming up, which it is, as the next head coach somewhere, you have to ask yourself a question. Do you want to lose this guy? I mean, look at the defense. Start the season. When you go back and go to thewholeshow.com and look at my grades, I graded the defense fairly high. But I didn't grade them to the point where I thought they were going to be the best defense in the NFL. And you've done this with all these injuries. You didn't even notice Bradley Chubb off the field for this team last week. That certainly wasn't an issue. So he's definitely a candidate. And you, so you're going to want to figure this out quickly. If he's really, if you think Hackett's not going to be the guy, you don't want to waste a lot of time here and perhaps lose who could be the next star. But that's the scary part. Now George Payton's gambling again. Do I go with another new coach, even though he sounds really promising? But you're seeing it firsthand that he's a really good defensive coordinator right here in your own backyard.
Broncos kind of feel like when you're at the casino and you're playing a slot machine, you're not having a lot of good luck, and you're just thinking, okay, this next bet is going to get me a big jackpot. I'm going to get the fun little mini game. We're going to make a lot of money, and we're going to dip out. And you just keep hitting the
button. Just keep going. That's what Russ was a gamble. That's what Hackett was a gamble because he's a new coach. Anytime you hire a coach that's never been a coach, it's a gamble. And he just keeps, you know, trading Bradley Chubb, trading for Russ in the first place was a gamble. Signing him was a gamble. You know, trading Bradley Chubb, that's a gamble. It's paid off 1 week. Because, again, we won't know if it really pays off until we see the draft pick that they get from it. But, you know, last week against the Titans, you didn't notice that Bradley Chubb was not on the field. It wasn't a big loss at that point for one game. Look at the defense, what I graded here. We'll take a quick break. I had the Broncos second in the AFC West at corner. I had him second at safety. I had him second at linebacker, third at edge rusher, and second interior defensive line. Those have kind of held up, actually, the one thing that's held up. 12:51 the time, quick break coming up. We're going to wrap up hour number two. Football Friday coming up at 1 o'clock. CSU has Air Force. I'll tell you who has a huge game this weekend, and that's Wyoming. Wyoming and Boise State, sign me up for that one. That should be interesting. Football Friday coming up at 1. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA. Another one bites the dust.
Another one bites the dust. And another one gone. The UNC Bears playing Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
What's up, hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
I saw an interesting graphic. 81 teams remain unbeaten in college basketball. Colorado State is one of them. Crazy, right? Yeah, 81 teams so far. That's 4 weeks, 4 games in, 5 games in. Pretty obvious.
Stop the count.
Yeah.
Make the tournament right now.
Stop the count. Four wins for Colorado. Hey, when you were
thinking.
Are
they one seed right now?
Yeah. I saw Lytle tweeted out that they moved up a lot in the KenPom ratings. But it's going to take some a lot more wins for them to move up any more. Kevin posted 4 hours ago, Colorado State moved up 23 spots in KenPom to number 73 with the blowout win to South Carolina. Well, they're playing here at 3. Can they keep the undefeated streak going? Do you think they keep rolling today? Go to 5-0? 5-0, you start to really believe. Who knows? All right, Football Friday coming up at 1 o'clock. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.